Hello and welcome back to the Pelcast podcast with myself, Dave Carabini, Jack McArdle, Bill Gain and James Coleman. This week, we're looking at what's been going on in the league over the last 7 days, including Stephen O'Donnell out at Dundalk, a flare incident that's marred a fantastic game of football in Weavers Park, a massive fixture issue with Sligo Rovers, the closure of Turner's Cross, and history made in the South West as Kerry get their first ever victory in the at home in the League of Ireland. But first of all, as I always start off with, lads, how are we getting on? James, I'll start with yourself.
Ah, I'm all right. I'm happy enough.
Bill, how are you getting on?
Amazing.
It's great to hear you're in great form lately. Jack, how's life?
Yeah, it's going on, Doc. It's all right. Like, not really.
anyway, but look, I mean, we'll start off with the prediction that we all had last week, which was Kerry getting their first ever home win in the League of Ireland.
Come on, Kerry.
It's well known knowledge that our very own Bill Gain is a former sponsor of the club. He sponsored Kennedy Amechi, who got a goal on Friday night in a 3-0 win against Longford
hey,
Town.
Fuck him, I mean, so did I.
We all did. Yeah, Bill pushed for it.
Fucking don't be giving it all to Bill.
We all did. But anyway, look, fantastic to see it. I mean, we don't talk about the first division at all, really. The other results in the league that on the weekend on Friday, Harps drew 1-1 with UCD in a game that was marred with controversy by the fact it was moved to a 5 o'clock kickoff due to the floodlight failures. And then there was goals galore actually all over the league, which was surprising. We got Bray Wanderers 3, Athlone Town 0, Cork City 3, Cove Ramblers 0 in the last game of Turner's Cross ever, by the sounds of things. Wexford 3, Treaty 2, and then obviously Kerry winning 3-0 against Longford. It's one of those things. It just feels like a really historic moment that we've just seen. And it's very early doors, obviously, but it's great to see that so many people actually wanted it to happen. People are actually looking at it. But I suppose we'll start it off with that, lads. What do we think of Kerry as a whole, as an entity within the league? Do we see them, you know, for me personally, I can only see it being a positive for the league that they've gotten their first win. And it's always a positive when they get it against Longford for me. But anyway, James, what are you thinking?
I think it's class, to be honest. As a fan of a regional club, you know, it's great to see clubs popping up all around. And I know Mayo as well. We'll get them eventually, it looks like, in the league. But, you know, there's so many counties and so many areas that don't have a League of Ireland club. And you have people with excuses like, oh, I don't follow the League of Ireland because I have no club close to me. Well, it'd be great if one day we get to the point where there's no excuses for not following the League of Ireland. And yeah, I'm delighted for Kerry. Fair play to them. And it can only get better, you know? So, happy days.
Yeah, Jack, what do you think?
It's good to see. It's good to see. The thing with Kerry is it's hard not to like them, the way that they came in. And it seems like the fans have fallen through thick and thin. I know there was a photo a few weeks ago of, I think his name Jason O'Sullivan. I could be getting it wrong. Went up to Finn Harps, went up to Valley Buffet, got a photo with the squad and all. It seems like a very, like, together group as such, like, even though having no man in the first year, I think it's just more the fact that I can appreciate having football in the local area. Like, the attendance is still seem to be doing well, and that win can only really push them on. They're undefeated in their last, seven games as well, which is mad to see compared to last year.
Yeah, and Bill, how about yourself?
It should be noted, during the off-season, Kerry had certainly, I won't say recruitment issues, but you had the departure of Brian Ainscoe to Dundalk. And it's just a credit to the club that they were able to regroup to someone who's probably a substantial backer to the club. I don't know what's going on behind the scenes. And yeah, it's great to see them pick up their first win of the season. And long may it continue. Yeah. I think it was particularly fitting that Kerry FC got their first win of the season, first ever League Round win at home against Longford.
So moving on to the next topic of discussion. And this is one very close to our very own Jack McArdle's heart, which is O'Donnell out. He is gone 8 games into the season. He's left the bottom of the league on, is it 2 points, 3 points? Yeah, they're in big trouble. 3 points from 8 games, 3 goals scored and 15 conceded. I mean, Jack, it's not looking good for you.
No, it's not. I don't know, I actually didn't think O'Donnell would have been sacked. As of recording this, I didn't think he'd be sacked yet. I thought he would have got the game against Pats on Friday, but I guess you can only give him so many one more games and one more chance. I feel like, in my eyes, he had to have bet Drogheda and not let Derby to keep his job anyways, and he failed to do that. And then it was a bad split up on Derry Friday, but I don't think anyone really expected us to do anything up there. We discussed it last week. We didn't expect nothing from Dundalk up there. It's hard to expect anything going up to a team. Big crowd and all. It's just, at the moment, the club's just, the way it's running from top to bottom just isn't good enough. Like, you're replacing O'Donnell and you're putting in Liam Barnes and Ryan Gartland, two coaches with no experience of managing a team. Obviously, Patrick Craig left with it on yesterday as well, so you couldn't even keep him on. But I don't know. I just think it's a total lack of an option B at the minute. It seems like there's been no further comments from Dundalk on any word of if there's going to be a new manager stated in the next few weeks, or will it be a process where they wait till May or June to get the ideal candidate. You don't know what's going to really happen with the club. But I do feel like it has to be a swift appointment in order to try to salvage something from the league. I feel like it's just not an enticing job anymore compared to even Bowes going for Stephen Kenny. At least with Bowes, there was a project there. You've a new ground being built. The club's going up. The North's just going down. Like, ironically, even they'll probably get relegated this year as well if things don't improve. But it's just hard to see who'll come in and who'll guide us onto hopefully staying up and just even sustaining the club and trying to keep it just in the Premier Division for another year. It's just like the whole atmosphere around the town's very grim at the minute as well. Like, I don't want to be really pointing fingers to anyone, but like, there's been just false promises made in the last few years to O'Donnell itself and stuff that, like, things would happen when they didn't. Also, I don't really know what, I've not really else to really say about it, I don't think.
Obviously, I'm delighted to see us are doing fairly poor. Not for you, it's more for the club itself, but a few names that have been kind of banded about that I've seen on Twitter for the replacement job. I mean, Vinnie Perth seems like the obvious choice. Richard Dunn, who obviously missed out on the Bowes job. Roddy Collins is a name that's been gets linked to every League of Ireland job.
Come on, Roddy.
Then, you know, Lisa Fallon, Vera Powell, could just be the Bowes of the managerial game and be the progressive ones. Or
Dave Rogers.
My personal favourite was Dave Rogers, I think. He's obviously, you know, he's obviously there and he's available.
Maybe. Get that guy back.
No King as well is available. I mean, there's a few names there that you could probably look at and get in, but I don't know. What do we think, James? What are you thinking? Who would be your man to go in there?
If I was a Dundalk fan, I'd love to see Vinnie Perth back, obviously. But I just think it's a poison chalice. I think whoever is going to go in there, they're not going to succeed. There's more problems in Dundalk than just the manager and the assistant manager. Clearly, look, it seems from all the stories that everyone is hearing and everything, it seems like it's kind of being run like a bit of a circus. And I know I take the piss and whatever, but it's sad to see clubs like that, and especially a club like Dundalk, who have been so successful. It's just, obviously something has gone seriously, seriously wrong. If a club that have been that successful in the last 10 years are sitting bottom of the league with a ground that's fallen down and no manager, and it doesn't seem like there's any concrete manager that's going to go in there. So, yeah, I feel for Dundalk fans. But yeah, if I was a Dundalk fan, it'd be Vinnie Perth I'd want back, realistically.
I think it's just more just a general feeling around the town that I think it's going to get worse before it gets better as well. I don't feel like even if you do get back in Vinnie Perth, which personally, I love Vinnie Perth when he left the club. I thought he's a good man. I thought he'd done well for us. He dug us out of trouble in 2021 after Magilton left and all, kept us up that year. We had a late wee push for Europe as well, but we fell short. But feel like it's a poison chalice. Like what is there to sell about Dundalk in a minute? There's nothing going for them at all. Like, you don't have a good ground. You don't, like what's the selling point for Dundalk? Oh, we used to be in the Europa League a few years ago, and we won a few league titles in the last 10 years, but we've not been close in by five. Like, so it's hard to sell for even players to sign, let alone a manager coming and back the project himself.
Yeah, Bill, what do you think?
It's actually interesting because I said it. I posted on the 29th of March only. The parallels with Cork City and Dundalk are uncanny, I think, this season. You've new ownership, and you've recruitment issues from that new ownership, rightly or wrongly. you've made your stars leaving, Hoban pre-season for the knock, and Matt Healy left during the summertime when Cork City were in relegation fight to Belgium, where he's doing well. Fan discontentment. So it's very easy to lay the blame on Donald, and I think he probably could have to go. But, like, how do you replace him? I think the situation echoes, as I said, Keely in Cork City, even on a broader scale, Ali at United, because they're three club legends, respectively, for their teams. The issues are far deeper than that. And what I'd like to see them not do slightly, I'd like them to really go back and focus on their youth. You see players going off to their best youth going to Dundalk or going to Drogheda every season. You'd Adebayega over in Norwich and a few others like that. They do produce youth players, but they never seem to give them the chance. So what I'd like to see is Dundalk to really focus on their youth talent, re-evaluate and so not focus on just signing players and go the long term. I think it's in for a struggle now, but you have to go long term. The one man I'd like to see who could get the job, I think, Andy Mulder, because if you're going on the focus of youth and bringing through young players and giving them time, Andy Mulder would have experience with that at UCD. So,
Jack, what do you think of that?
Personally, Andy Mulder is a good shout, actually. I didn't actually think of him, to be fair. I just don't think if you're trying just to... If you're preparing for the long term, maybe you could be a good idea, but I don't think the focus should be at the moment just to get the club out of relegation zone and just hopefully stay up. I think it's more, you don't want to be, we're not in a position where we are preparing for the first division already, hopefully. But we shouldn't be. I think there's still, I think the likes of Galway, Waterford, Sligo, like they'll all fall off and probably get closer to us and draw that. What you'd like to think anyways, they'll fall off eventually. I don't think it's game over yet, but I think the next round of fixtures is when you'll see the league table really formulate. Like there's teams like Galway, Sligo, they're not going to be doing well forever. I feel like the whole idea of preparing youth could be a bit rash as well, because I think at a time of this, you need experienced players to stand up. You don't, like, in all fairness, like, you have the likes of Owen Kenny and academy lads, 18, 19-year-olds and all. I feel like it'd be the wrong moment to push them into a first-team squad when they're just going to get battered every week. I feel like you just need to trust what you have at the minute. Put trust in the club captain, John Mountney, and the more senior players in the club, and just hope that they pick up results here and there.
Yeah, I mean, look, it's obviously a very big decision by the board and the whoever makes the decisions in Dundalk, but it's become untenable, and unfortunately, you kind of have to move on after that. But we'll move on ourselves to, I mean, the results from the weekend. I think it brings us on to that, which would be Almond ruins Reynolds' return as Waterford win 1-0 against Bohemians.
I forgot about these, man.
Derry down Dundalk, as Dundalk leave themselves sitting in the relegation zone. Patrick's Athletic beat the fellas in the green and white shirts in a 2-1 win.
That's bad.
Cathlane kills the Connacht Derby as Storm Cathlane cause an end to Sligo Rovers against Galway before they even arrived at the ground. And Desmond and Drogheda, as Boyd comes out of his shell, in a 2-2 draw, which brings us on to our next topic, of course, which is the flare incident at Weavers Park on Friday night, which caused a 20-minute stoppage to the game. And they came out and played 30 seconds. I don't know why it wasn't just blown up. I don't really understand. I was there. I was at the game. I didn't see what happened with the assistant referee in front of the away end. I was too busy complaining about the free kick that Rob Hennessy gave against us. And then next thing you know, I just looked up and the linesman was just on the ground holding his head, and there was a lift flare beside him. And then the whole thing was just carnage. Then Hennessy took the players and the officials off the pitch, which is the right thing to do. There was an announcement went out and said the game isn't over. And then when they came back out, now Duff, like, look, I've had my issues with Damien Duff down the years. And his comments after the game about, we come back out and the free kick is 6 or 7 metres away from where it was due to be taken. Yeah, in a better position to take a free kick, because the foul was originally at the corner of the box, like out at the angle, right on the line of the box. And Hennessy then moved the ball. And again, it's a difficult thing to work out where the ball was. He moved it about 5 yards in and 3 yards back. So it was a better angle for Keith Ward to take the free kick. So I wouldn't really have many complaints about that. But yeah, I mean, lads, I'm interested in your own opinions. Obviously, we've been advocates for flares before in the past on this podcast, apart from Bill. But when it gets to that kind of situation, I think it is just too many fucking idiots out there that are ruining it for everyone else, because they can be great, but they do ruin it. So, I mean, what are your own thoughts there, James? Go ahead.
I think whoever done it is an absolute idiot, and I think a lifetime ban will be just about right. Look, flares are massive for atmosphere, in my opinion anyway. You know, it's just, it brings something to the league. It's idiots like that clown in the Shell's End there the other day that just ruins it for everybody, you know. Scanlon said last week or the week before that if it continues to happen, that clubs will be punished even harsher. Points deductions, perhaps. And like, look, Shells are flying it at the minute, but can you imagine if, like, you got points taken off your club while you're top of the league just because some idiot threw a flare at the linesman? And like, there's no excuse for it. There's absolutely no excuse for it. It's absolutely despicable. You know, I know we complain about refs and about assistants and the standard refereeing in the league, but you know, at the end of the day, they're only doing this part time, like, and they're only going out. We can't have a league without referees and linesmen. We just can't play games. So if you're going to go out and start throwing flares at them, like, what the fuck do you want? It's absolutely ridiculous. I couldn't believe it. And I hope they are punished heavily. And I hope, you know, I hope it's something like a lifetime ban or something, because we don't need idiots like that in the league, and we don't want them from any club. Nobody wants that sort of shit.
Yeah, I mean, I just have to come in there before I go on to the Euro lads. Is I saw something someone said on Twitter on Friday night. It was a literal kid, and it was almost as if they were trying to defend the fact that it was a. And look, I know lads that were over in the away end, and they were saying he was about 15. Like, a literal kid for me would be a 6, 7, 8 year old. And again, who the fuck is giving a 6, 7, 8 year old a flare? But if he was, I was told he was about 15, 16. That is old enough to know you shouldn't fucking throw a lit flare at someone's head. So whoever it was, he or she, I believe it was a male, they should be banned for life. They shouldn't be allowed back into a League of Ireland ground 100%. Ever again.
100%.
And there should be police charges. They should be arrested. There should be... That could do serious damage. And
absolutely. Like, that can make life-changing, you know, impact on the linesman. 100%.
And the assistant referee was very, very fortunate that there wasn't long-lasting damage done to him. Now, I was just saying, it's not an excuse that he was 15, that he was a kid. He's old enough and bold enough to know. And again, if you're saying he's a literal kid, who gave him the flare? Who bought the flare from him? Who handed it to him? Because then they need to be charged as well. So, you know, there's so many different layers to this. So, yeah.
Also, like, I think I'm not absolutely not tearing all Shelburne fans with it, because the vast, vast, vast majority of Shells fans are very upset and angered about this. And it is harsh that, you know, the whole club gets punished as a whole for one person's actions. But who do you turn to? Who do you punish for it? So, yeah, I feel sorry for Shells fans. Like, even when Sligo Rovers played in Inchicore there last week, there was one member of the away end, our end, that was shouting at Chris Forrester some very, just not very nice remarks that, you know, were very personal to him. And all the fans in our end erupted. But, like, at the end of the day, you don't want to tear the whole fan group just because of one person's actions, but you have to punish somebody, and it's going to have to be the club. There's no other way of looking at it, like, so.
Yeah, Jack, I know you've been an advocate for flare usage in the past, and I know you're a big fan of throwing them at people, so what are your views?
I'll be throwing them at a few people on Friday, no worry. No, only joking. But David Martin's saying Drogheda got a ban last year for something similar in Oriel Park. Was that for just throwing them the pitch?
That was thrown at, they were thrown at Robbie Benson, but it hit the official. Yeah.
Yeah, so it's the same thing. Yeah.
Yeah, effectively. And Bowers had the same thing with Pats away at the start of the season, and they were bad for the game against us.
I was in Arnhem this weekend for Test versus Nijmegen, or Nijmegen, whatever way you pronounce them. And
Nijmegen, yeah.
In the 85th minute, there was a flare thrown just on the pitch itself, and the referee just picked up the ball and walked off. I think it's like a rule of action over in the Netherlands that if something like that happens, the game gets suspended for whatever, how long, and then if it happens, the second time the match gets abandoned or whatever. Maybe it could be a practice in the league, say if stuff does get thrown on the pitch just straight away off, even if it doesn't hit anyone or doesn't even cause any damage itself. But that's off topic. It's a different fucking football association, different league. But I just think with the whole flare situation, it's just got a bit of a hand race me. Like, they're good for atmosphere, they bring a lot to the game, and I think it's more kind of, you get kind of, compared to like the Premier League, you don't see Manchester City lighting off pyro going one it up in the Manchester Derby or nothing. It's a lot more like old like 90s football in the League of Ireland and such, like the fan culture, where flares and pyro is like makes an impact and it's not frowned upon as much. I think it's kind of needed for like, especially like derbies. Like, imagine like derby and no pyro, Dave. Like, just like over the last few years, like, and tifo displays and all, like, kind of all falls in the same thing. Like, for even all of our clubs respectively, like, there's a ultra group or there's a group of fans that go out in the way, put time and money into getting pyro and getting tifos made in order to kind of get publication for the club and just get a good name for themselves and get a bit of praise online for it. I think if it can be controlled right, and even if there could be a programme by the FAI where, say, there's trained members of, say, ultra groups, say there's three or four lads, they go up, they do like a fire safety course. They get shown, right, you light the flare, there's a sand bucket in every way and or every home end, put straight in it once they're done, just to stop other things from happening. And, like, just, I feel like with the whole points tally and all being brought in, it'd be a bit of a joke. Like, it's nothing to do with the players on the pitch or the club itself. I think it's just bans for fans that don't coordinate with the rules. Like, even though flares are technically still illegal, the FAI are still promoting videos. So, kind of, they're contradicting themselves the whole time about it as well. So, it's a tough one, really.
Yeah, I mean, Bill, you're a resident anti-flare individual. So, I mean, it'd be interesting to get your views.
I'll have that record that I'm not pro-flare, but I'm not anti-flare either. I believe the pros and cons are overstated on both sides of the debate. And there's a lot of, you're ostracized if you say you don't like flares, and if you're a fan of flares, you're ostracized too. The issue I find is that the clubs have found themselves, and the stewards, because they know what's going on, or they know what's going to happen every game, have consistently, across each club in the league, find themselves basically fundamentally incapable of managing the flare situation. And if you're incapable, whatever about the pros of it, if you find yourself incapable of managing the situation, then I find it difficult to be pro flair. Jack was on about getting it done and having designated areas and stuff. I'm not against that, but when you do that, you're still going to have the fucking idiots who are going to bring up flares anyway, because if they're smuggling them in when flares aren't allowed, well, if they are allowed, you're still going to have people who aren't the designated flare people bringing them in. So, like, I'm not sure how that works. I'm not sure how it works other than an outright ban. And also, a lot of the problem, too, is the facilities. The facilities, and it's a segue into the Terrace Cross issue, aren't great. So, I think we have to be, like, cognizant that accidents could happen. Not throwing at a linesman or official isn't an accident, but accidents could happen, even in the best intentioned. And are our facilities in the best condition to cope with if a fire did get loose or something? So I think it draws in more questions and answers, and it's an issue that keeps drawing its head, and we need to find a solution to it fast, because the current solution to it isn't working. And I don't know what that is, to be honest, but we can't be burying our heads in the sand continually, because...
I like Jack's idea though about the whole in the Netherlands. You know, if it happens once, take the team off. If it happens twice, that's it. But on the other hand, then you have people
who
aren't.
Wrong. I could be wrong actually about the second night, but yeah, it's definitely.
But it's a good idea.
I know it's something. Straight away they're off the pitch. The other day happened like the 85th minute. They're off the pitch for 5 or 10 minutes. Came back on and played the rest of the game. It's like, I think that's a common practice over there now, and like it kind of gets used in an advantage because some teams could use it. Like say if you're 3-0 down, it's 48 minute or something. You could fuck like 10 players in the pitch at different times and then get the game abandoned and replayed behind closed doors. Like, so it kind of has its pros and cons as well. Like,
yeah, that's
true. But if it is, Dundalk should be utilising that. So.
No, because I think it's you know, whichever team causes the in the Dutch league, I think it's whichever team causes the abandonment of the game loses. It's that same, but I think the result stands. Or I think it's like if it's, say it's 4-5-0, the result stands at 4-5-0. But if it's less than 3, then they get a 3-0 win or something along those lines. I think that's the way they do it. Which I think it works. You know, you rarely see it in the Dutch league or in the German league or French league or any of the leagues, like the Greek league and stuff like that, where you actually have proper big fuck off pyro displays that are huge, and like, you know, you never really hear about issues with it going on the pitch or things going on fire, or because it's done safely, because all these fans are so passionate about these like displays, and they put so much effort into them that they're not going to ruin it by having it taken away from them, you know. So I don't understand why we can't try and get that done over here. And even like, it doesn't always we don't have to have flares at every game. Like we've had a few games where we've had like streamers, we've let off a fucking confetti cannon in the crowd, and it's just, again, creates that little bit of atmosphere, that bit of colour in the stand, and like it just gets people talking. It looks really picturesque. It looks great in a video. So it doesn't always have to be pyro, but pyro does help sometimes. And like I don't like when they light off pyro during the game, like from like when they score a goal or something like that. I prefer it as a display at the start of the game, and I think that works really well. But yeah, I think if you do it properly, as Jack says, if you get 3 or 4 lads trained per club, or if the clubs have, like if every member of an ultra group got trained on how to use it, but like fire safety, and like they all know, the people that light it off regularly know, because they're not the ones that are thrown on the pitch,
and they're responsible for it.
And they know.
Let's say they're back on the ultra group as such.
Let's say there's two people trained in, say, Sligo Rovers, and there's like maybe 5 flares at one point. Well, obviously, like, you know, but I suppose as Scanlon said, they're still illegal in Ireland, like. So like that's, you know,
well, come on.
Then why did the league promote them? Like, why did the league promote them? It's so stupid. If they're illegal, then the league just like benefiting off, because it looks well like online and all. But at the same time, the league fine clubs for them. I think. So why are the league ever promoting it?
Haven't they started fining clubs if clubs use them in promotional videos and stuff? Or am I just imagining that?
The league itself done it for years as well.
Oh yeah, of course.
I know something maybe last year. Recently, I know something with the Loud Derby was the Drogheda TikTok put up a video of the just another Manic Monday banner, and like of that being unfurled, and as soon as someone let a flare, the video cut, so they just stopped. They just edited that bit out, so they don't have it. So it could be a case of clubs are going to start being fined if they start using flares in promotional videos and it. And to be honest, Jack, I think you were the one that kind of pushed that. Like, you pushed that agenda online, and ever since then, I haven't really seen them using the flares in promotional videos. So
it's really like someone might be listening.
Yeah. I think so. Bill might be able to confirm it, but I'm nearly sure that that's happening. I think I remember having a discussion about that on a space or something.
Something to that effect, I believe. At the media, the club. During the media event they held every year for the volunteers, there was something mentioned. I can't exactly show, but something to that effect. I think it was Robert who said it last year in the space.
If the league the league were promoting it a few years back, I don't know if they still are, but But like, it's very contradicting and finding clubs like, as if they're bringing point deductions all over. Like, it's not really, it's not fair in the clubs. It's not really, it's not like, say for Talk Six, Dundalk. It's not O'Donnell's or Brian Gartens or whatever fault if Dundalk get enough to 3 points because some clown that have now fucked up on the pitch. Like, it gets kind of, I know you have to nip it in the bud somewhere, but the whole thing of making it on the pitch, like, impact doesn't make sense to me.
Yeah, but you could say the same about, like, Everton's point deduction in the Premier League. Like, it wasn't Sean Dyche's fault that they overspent in the stadium or that they didn't sell Gylfi Sigurdsson in time or that they didn't, you know.
But that's different. I still think it's a bit different, though.
Yeah, but you can't...
It's someone that runs the club, like, the fans don't run the club, so...
But again, it's the only way that you can stop it. Because imagine...
No, that's what I mean.
Imagine, for example... Imagine with Shells now this weekend. So they're, what, 8 points clear at the top of the table?
Yeah.
Like, imagine if now they're deducted, say, 2 points. They're only 6 points clear. They still have to play Rovers 3 times. All of a sudden then, it becomes a completely different inflection on the league where they have to go out and try and win more games because Rovers have 2 games in hand or have a game in hand. Like there's even just a 2-point deduction changes everything. And like I'm not advocating for points deductions, but I'm just saying I understand where they'd be coming from with them. So
I'd hate if it came to that, because if anything, yeah. I think the Tifos and Flares and Pyro, they bring a niche to the league that a Premiership team doesn't offer for like an Irish fan. Like, I've only seen recently Liverpool and Arsenal with smoke bombs maybe in the cup final in Wembley. Like, I'd be very petty, like it'd be very like shite, like it'd only be one smoke bomb or something. Like, it kind of offers a different incentive, like a mainland European league. Like, I've been
100%,
I've been at games around in Sweden and all. I saw AIK last year and it was mad, like, and stuff. It makes the league look better. It's definitely better for promotion as well, not for the league itself, like not for the league's official pages, but say for elsewhere on TikTok or whatever, like it gains a bit of traction.
100%, I completely agree. But I think we'll move on from the Flair debate. I know it's been done to death, but it's just something that we had to discuss because of what happened at Weavers Park at the weekend. But the next topic of discussion that I have here is towards you, James. Fixture issues up in Sligo. What's the crack?
How fucking long do you have? Look, the game on Friday.
Got about 15 minutes.
Okay, well, we're going to have to double that at least. No, like the Galway game postponed on Saturday. Look, the weather wasn't that bad down here. I can understand them calling off the game for safety reasons, but the reasons were just pure ludicrous. Like, it seems that they didn't want Galway fans having to travel through areas that were in a weather warning. But like, they were in a weather warning, and the Galway team had already arrived in Sligo. And there was a supporters bus on the road at that point. And then the league decided to announce that the game was called off. If they had done it an hour earlier even, it would have made much more sense. But like, Sligo wasn't in an orange warning. If that was their reasoning behind calling off the game, Sligo wasn't in an orange warning. They had let Galway fans already travel through orange warnings to get to Sligo. So that's a nonsensical argument as well. But that's not the main problem, really. Like, I can understand it's better to be safer than to be sorry. And I 100% agree with that. Rather a game called off than somebody get injured at a game. But, the game has been fixed now for Monday, the 22nd of April. So the first Connacht derby, really. I know people calling it not a derby. It's a derby if it wants to be a derby. God help people to get a bit excited about a game. Jesus Christ. And even Sligo Rovers fans, I see some of them giving out, it's not a derby. Jesus, will you let some people get a bit excited and have a bit of banter between clubs? Will you fucking relax? No. Yeah, Jesus. But anyways, the game is now...
It's more of a derby than Sligo and Shamrock Rovers anyways.
All right, whatever you're saying, Jack, anyway. All right, come on, yeah. You go on the fucking manager hunt again there, will you? Get out the LinkedIn there and put out a call for managers, will you? But... We play our games on Saturdays because that's just, we're a regional club. We get our best jobs at we get our best attendances on a Saturday. But now that game's going to be on a Monday. we're not going to get half of the support we would have got on a Saturday. And as a club that has no owners, you know, we're heavily reliant on gate receipts every week or every second week to get a game of that magnitude. Missing out on probably half the gate is huge. And not only that, but with that game being on the Monday, we were supposed to play Dundalk at home on that Saturday. But because the game is on Monday, that game has also been changed. So we're playing Dundalk on a Friday. So not only are we missing out on the Galway gate receipts on a Saturday, we're also missing out on Dundalk gate receipts on a Saturday. And for any Dundalk fans that have booked any accommodation or anything in Sligo, they've been shafted, you know? Like, I don't understand it. Like, do they just not consult with the clubs at all? Do they just make these stupid decisions? Like, is it next week, I think, there's a postponed game being played on a Monday? I think.
Both of them are playing on Monday.
Why can't we play
on Monday?
That's
all right. It's only an hour up the road anyways. That's not too bad. But it's the fact, like, I agree at some point, like, Dundalk usually bring a good crowd over to Sligo as well. Like, we usually... to bring a couple hundred over to Sligo because it's a good trip on a Saturday. Like, fans look forward. It's one of the fixtures you look at straight away, I think, because it's just a completely different playing on a Saturday. 7:45 kickoff, it's a good crack. But, like, for the likes of Bulls and Lough, there was somewhere where it's only an hour and a half, maybe, or an hour and 10 minutes up to Daily Mint. Not even. It's not too bad. But the likes of making fans travel from Galway to Sligo, decent enough journey, like, it's a bit of a joke.
What was it, 15 minutes, did you say? 40 minutes?
No, I never said nothing.
No,
like
I agree.
That.
Like, and for fans-wise, like, I've gone from being able to go to both Dundalk and Galway to not being able to go to either of them games. I'm not going to be able to go to the Friday or the Monday games. Like, so, it's just annoying. There's a lot of people annoyed about it. Like, and the club are going to miss out massively financially as well, which does not help when we are a fan-owned club. But, yeah. I just needed to get that off my chest. Fuck the FAI and their scheduling. Crowd of bastards.
Speaking of games that should have been called off.
I like that. Straight to Cork.
Last Friday night, I was watching the Cork Derby on stream. Actually, there was troubles with the stream showing, first of all. But the pitch was in an absolute state, which it has been for weeks. If you've either been at a game live, which I have been at Turner's Cross this year, or if you watch even a minute of the game on stream, the pitch has been in shocking state for quite some time. Actually, the pitch was so bad and the quality was so poor on the stream, I actually turned it off and put on Kerry, which was a far better watch. But yeah, the news about the issue with Turner's Cross has been the pitch at Turner's Cross has been leaning its head for quite some time. The MFA have a lease for Turner's Cross for 20 years, which was signed in October 2022, renewed. Cork City and the women are the primary tenant holders of the pitch, but the pitch is never in a fit state because they've continually called off women's games because of the pitch. And it's just embarrassing. I think they're going to end up trying to go to Cove now and trying to get the pitch. And if Cork City have to go to Cove for use of their own pitch, it's just embarrassing, I don't know.
It's a big, big issue, the state of the pitches. I mean, obviously, look, the state of the pitches has been an issue for years, but also with the weather we're not used to having weather like this in April. I know it's Ireland, we should be used to it and all this kind of stuff, but it is a bit mad how much rain we've had in 2024 so far. It's kind of ruined the state of play, but... It's something that we just have to deal with. It's something that we're trying to improve on. It's something that other countries don't really need to deal with. We're talking about niches and things like that with the flare issue, but I think the state of the weather in Ireland is a massive thing that other countries don't deal with at all. So it's it has been an issue, but we'll deal with that. We have dealt with it for the most part, but it's yeah, like the groundsmen in the league do a great job most of the time. Obviously, Turner's Cross, it's not in great nick at the moment. They've obviously had issues with storms in the past where their stand was knocked down and things like that. And yeah, it's something that really needs to be looked at, needs to be fixed. But hopefully, closing the ground for the next few weeks is going to be beneficial. Do we know, are they playing in Coleman's Park?
Dan McDonald said today that the games, they're going to do the reverse games. So for the next couple of weeks, their home games will be away games. But like, even, I don't know, something has to be done with the pitches. Like, I help with the pitch in Sligo from time to time. Like, I'll do it, like, fork it at halftime and that sort of carry on. And it's tough. It's really tough. Like, with the weather we've had, it's impossible to really let the pitches drain. And with so many games now, look, it's great to see the women's games and everything like that, but it just means that there's even more strain put on pitches. But something is going to have to be done about it realistically. Whether that's covers for pitches or whatever it is, I don't think draining it is enough, especially on the West Coast. I know Cork is down south, but we get absolutely battered here on the West, and pitches just can't hold up with it. Like, they're just not able for it, you know? So something's going to have to be done, whether that's covers for pitches or investment from the league or something, but can't keep going on like this.
Good luck.
The league would rather try to get a Euros in a country which has two good stadiums, or with one good football stadium, than put a few pounds in every club in Ireland to get a decent infrastructure.
Jack, you're talking too much sense. Will you stop?
Well, it's a joke too with the whole like situation Cork. Like, Cork are a big club that doesn't have like a big fucking, like, that should never be an issue for a team like Cork. A ground like Turtle Cross is still probably one of the better grounds in the country, and they're having a problem with their pitches. Like, I saw a picture of one of the pitch, I think it might have been for the Cove game, and it looked like the 6-yard box. It was like yellow, like it was like nearly pure dirt. Like, it's the one time a plastic pitch is actually not getting stick. It's kind of, obviously it's not the most sustainable for injuries and all. And it should probably be grass pitches in professional clubs. But no, the fact that Cork might have to go to their next door neighbour's Cove and look to use their facilities is a bit embarrassing for a club the size of Cork.
Yeah, it's not great. It's not great at all. But I mean, look, it's needs must for the time being. But as James said, it looks like it's going to be the reverse fixtures for the next 5 weeks. Which, again, like, in the long run, I don't think that could help because, at the end of the day, they're then going to have to play 5 weeks in a row at home, right? That'd be great for their fucking finances, but it would also be a massive issue for the pitch.
I don't know if it's actually 5 games or not, but it's for the next while.
It's 5 weeks. They said it's closed for 5 weeks.
Is it? Okay.
So, yeah. So at some stage of the season, they're going to have a run of home games that they wouldn't have had in the original part of the season. But we'll move on to the weekly predictions league. We all had a fucking atrocious show at the weekend. Every single one of us only got 1 point. Myself, James, and Jack all picking up a point from Derry beating Dundalk. James or Bill, of course, predicted 4-1 all draws, and there was none. And predicted in one of his one all draws was in fact drawn against Shells, which ended up being a draw, but not a one-all draw. Looking at this week's fixtures, I'll get the ball rolling. Drogheda United against Derry City. Having slagged Bale over, I'm going for a one-all draw. I think the Drogs have... We've turned a corner. I think Luke Heaney's back as well, so that would be good. We've become very, very difficult to beat. I know we conceded two goals at the weekend, but I think we defend really, really well. I think Pat Hooban will still be out as well. So Derry regularly struggle against us in United Park as well. So, yeah, I'm going to go for a one-all draw there. Jack, what are you thinking?
I am not going to go in a one-all draw. I think Derry will have enough to beat us. I was impressed with some of our players from Friday. I was very impressed with Michael Duffy and Will Patchen played a good game. I think Derry just have too much for Drogheda. I think that win for Rory Higgins on Friday night is a good confidence booster, getting a few goals. I feel like they have too much for Drogheda. I feel like Drogheda will make it a tough game as always in Weaver's Park. I'm going to go with 2-1 Derry.
James, we'll come to you there.
I echo Jack. I think Friday is a big confidence booster for Derry. They really needed it. They have been fairly mixed, in fairness, in the past couple of weeks. two wins, two losses and a draw in the last five. But they are back up to second now. So, yeah, I don't think Drogheda are going to have enough at all. They've four draws and one loss in their last five games. And Dave said that they have a good defence, but they've conceded 12 goals. So, which is, barring Dundalk, is the worst defence in the league. But I do think they'll score. I'll give you that. I'm going to go 2-1 Derry.
James copying scores again. Dave, just keep an eye on this, will you?
Look at him here. All there.
We've a good defence. And, like, we got to remember, we had two clean sheets before the Shells game in a row. The Shells game, we can see the two stupid goals.
So did Dundalk.
Yeah, but you're shit. Anyway, moving on. Bill, what's your prediction for that one?
I think we're making a lot more of Derry City beating Dundalk 4-1. I know I predicted Dundalk to draw that match, but like, it was more of a shock kind of result I was looking for. I don't think Derry are as good as what people are making them out to be. I don't think Drogheda are as bad as what they make them out to be, and home factor for Drogheda could be a benefit. Surprise, surprise, I'm going with a 1-1 draw.
Oh my god.
You're copying the results there, Jack. See that? You're trying to stay top of the league.
Derry have scored the most goals in the league, by the way. Just.
Yeah, but the drugs are massive. And we're back in
the top. Bill was slagging that last season. Derry were shite.
Derry scoring the most goals in the league and Drogheda conceding the second most. So, I don't know, lads. We'll see.
We're only 14 points off the top of the table with a game in hand, lads.
We're only 18 off with a game in hand also, so it's alright.
We're in title, mate. But actually, one of the lads just texted me there. Shelburne versus Bohemians is sold out on Friday night, and it's live on RTE if anybody is at a loss of what they want to do. Throw that on if you're not already going to a game, if there's nothing in your locality, for all the people out there that are going to be sat at home and, you know, wishing they could watch a game of football.
So, Bill, will you be watching at home, will you? Or will you be...
Cork play other games away, Jack, for the next weekend?
Sure, he doesn't follow Cork at all.
He can't go now. He can't travel to away again.
Oh.
Well,
it'll be duffer at home. 100%.
Cover playing Wexford, though.
He'll have the pyjamas on. He'll be watching reruns of WWE on one screen and he'll be watching Duffer on the other.
So, Bill, I'll come to you for the next game. Dundalk and Pats.
Are you done?
Yeah, for now, anyway.
Look, Dundalk, will they get the new manager in a bounce? I don't think so. I think Pats, well, statistics showed it, they actually were probably lucky to get the win against Shamrock Rovers last week. They still got it, and I think that'll be a good boost to their season in the long term. I can see this being a 2-0 win for Pats, and Andrew Lanigan to call out half of Dundalk Twitter on X.
Nothing else to add to that. I just think Pats just have too much for Dundalk. I don't think having a UEFA C license manager in place is going to be enough to get them over the line for their first win of the season. So that's my prediction, is a 0-2. Jack?
Yeah, I think there will be a bounce, but it won't be a bounce where we win. I think we probably got in the first game as Dundalk into our manager. I feel like we'll do what we have to do. I feel like we'll step back and I feel like we just hold out. I'm going with a 0-0 draw.
James, do you want to give us a sensical answer there? I know you've already just
predicted
yours. Sorry, James. Did you not predict draw to the window tonight, no?
Yeah, we drew in the 94th minute.
So you didn't win?
But we were winning.
I predict this shit.
All right, it's all right, Jack. Okay.
I've gone Pats 2-0. Dundalk are a mess, as I say every week on this now at this point. Without a win. I think if it was anyone else up top, Pats would probably score more than two, but like watching Rory Keating against Sligo Rovers, he was absolutely horrendous. He was so bad. He had two very clear cut chances and one of them he put about 8 yards wide. He was one on one with the keeper, and he nearly went out for a corner. Like, yeah, a 2-0. I think Pats are definitely going to have too much for Dundalk, I think.
Jack, I'll come to you first for Shamrock Rovers against Sligo Rovers.
I've written down here, so I'm just going to... I have 2-1 Shams against Sligo, Sligo Rovers. I think Rovers, although they were very unlucky that night against Pats, I think, I feel like they're gonna start picking. They were picking off of us for a few weeks before that. I just feel like in Tala with a good crowd, I feel like Shams, they just have too much for Sligo. 2-1 Shamrock Rovers.
James, go ahead.
The Rovers Derby. Sorry, everyone's crying now. Yeah, both on 12 points, both of the game in hand. It's going to be tough. We're without Nando Pineacker. We're going to have two very, very young centre-backs. Hopefully J.R. Wilson will be back from injury. And Ed McGinty. It's going to be tough, but I'm going to go 2-2.
You did say at the start of the year that you weren't going to predict anything against Sligo.
I will never, ever, for this entire season, I will never predict Sligo Rovers to lose. Never.
And that is why you're not going to win the Predictions League, James. You see, there's only one of us here who removes bias from your decision-making, and it's me.
I'd rather support a club and talk about it on a podcast and pretend like I have any interest in Irish football and have a podcast, you know? Irish wrestling blog.
Fair enough. You never know. Anyways, as we were saying, I think Shamrock Rovers... I think I've predicted Sligo not to lose in every game of the season, so to be fair to me. That being said, I think Shamrock Rovers have a lot stronger of a squad than Sligo Rovers. And I can see Johnny Kenny having his Roy of the Rovers moment, scoring a brace in a 3-0 win for Shamrock Rovers.
Can't wait for him to not start and not play at all.
I've gone for 2-0 home win. So this is actually, we've all got different results here. That's nice for a change. Yeah, I've gone for a 2-0 home win. I'm sorry, James. I know we've turned a corner here with our love for each other, but I just can't see anything other than a home win here. I'd love to say otherwise, but I think Rovers. I know I said it last week that I think they're going to kick into gear, but
yeah, it's only a matter of time before they go 10 points clear of top. Like,
yeah, they'll win this weekend and somehow be 17 points clear of Shells.
Yeah, so it's going to happen. Like, they're going to just win 10 in a row. Like, just like. They're just going to win everything.
I'm changing my prediction to Sligo Rovers to win now after all this fucking shy talk.
What, 3-2?
No, I'm thinking 5-0, but I'm not sure yet.
Okay. Nah. I'll put that in brackets for you.
What 5-0 do you want, lad?
The next one, as I just said there, nearly sold out today. Three days before kickoff. Shelburne against Bohemians. I'll kick us off. I was not impressed with Shells at the weekend. I thought they looked really, really poor. Got away with one, really, because they had 12 men. Not saying how, because I'll get a cease and desist. But, yeah, I'm going to go for a 0-1. I think Bows are going to get that new manager bounce off Reynolds. And I know they were poor last week against Waterford, but I could see them getting a bounce back. And I think Shells are going to eventually lose, and I'll continue to predict it until they do.
How long is this new manager bounce going to last? He's been there 4 games now.
Yeah, but they haven't gotten their new manager bounce yet. They obviously lost to Rovers. They lost to Waterford. They beat Galway. So, I'm going to go for a 0-1. Jack?
Yeah, I have 2-1 Shells. I wasn't too impressed. Well, the highlights I watched, any of the Bulls, I wasn't too impressed, but they didn't really create nothing clear cut. Dale Rooney looked dangerous. He looked good again on highlights anyways. I don't know for the full 90. I just feel like Shelburne are going to be cunts. They'll get a last minute winner here, I think. It'll be 2-1 win. They'll get a last minute winner as well. They're just going to be one of them teams where they're just going to be annoying. They're just going to keep on picking up points. Yeah, so Shells 2-1.
Seamus Coleman?
Good to see this sold out and it on the telly, I suppose. It's the only stadium in the Premier Division I've not been to yet, actually, in Talca. Shells are flying. Bows, I don't think this new manager bounce carry on. I don't even believe in it, to be honest. Bows are in eighth for a reason. 2 wins and 3 losses in their last 5. I'm going Shells to win 2-1.
Yeah, I'm very, very surprised you have the same results, Jack.
I fucking sent them into the group chat, you cheeky bastard.
Dale, go on, what are you saying?
Shelburne they haven't lost yet the season, then they at some point they are going to lose. That being said, I don't think it'll be against Bohemians. I know I predicted them to lose last week, was it their last game, but I was actually shocked that they did it. Oh no, they lost to Waterford. See, that's the thing, they beat Galway and then they lose to Waterford. Like, they're just unpredictable. I think Alan Reynolds has a tough job going in there, and I think he has to be judged over more in the long term than in the short term. I think Shepherd went 2-0.
And then the final game, Jack, I'm going to come to you first for it, is Waterford FC versus Galway United.
Yeah, so my favourite club, Waterford, the one man that didn't give Waterford fans any abuse, I'm predicting to stay up, by the way. And shock, I've gone with Waterford to make it 2 wins in a row, 2-1 Waterford. I think they're well set up under the spoof for Keith Long. They look like they were set up well Friday, and the players that put the body in, they're already playing well, is a shock to me. But look, I'll continue to be shocked. Him and Robin Court both being team of the year, as I said a few months ago, once we let go of them. I feel like Ammon's going to get a brace here. And to be honest with you, I'm not too impressed with goal. I feel like they just lack goals. I said it from the start of the year. I just feel like they've nothing going forward. And the hoofball can only work for so much longer. So 2-1 Waterford.
James?
Yeah, Galway so scared to play Sligo Rovers that they decided to do a rain dance and summon the storm gods so that the game was cancelled on Saturday. Galway don't score. They've only scored 5 goals this season. Waterford score loads, but concede loads. They scored 11, I think, and conceded 11, something like that. There's only 1 point separating them. I'm going to go with a very, very boring 1-1 draw.
Bill?
James. Predicting the 1-1 draw.
I think it's probably the first one I've ever predicted.
you're finally seeing the light. Galway in 7th, Waterford in 6th, so after their both of them having positive starts to the season, they've both fallen to where they more or less where they should be, depending on how the other teams perform. And I don't think neither side are going to broach top 5 or 4, even though I think you had fans in both sides half predicting that they could make a run at Europe before they got promoted, so it's just outlandish. I mean, two lots of fans I've had in my group for it. Waterford being at home is a major factor for them, and I think that might stitch it in their favour. Am I going to predict a 1-0 win for Waterford? No, I'm not. I'm predicting a 1-1 draw.
Death, taxes, 1-1 draws.
Yeah, I'm going for a 1-1 draw. And
Ollie Horgan, yellow card as well. Stick that in there too.
100%. But yeah, I'm going for a 1-1 draw here. James, just going to put it out there, this is your 6th time predicting a 1-1 draw.
Yeah, so, I knew I predicted loads.
Have I predicted many 1-1 draws, Dave?
Jack has 5.
Yeah.
Sorry, I'm surprised I haven't predicted 5. More, to be honest.
Yeah, I'm going to go for a 1-1 draw here. Having I'm going to stick to my guns here with the whole Waterford are not as good as people make them out to be. I also think Galway are fairly shite as well. So, not that we're actually that good. So, yeah, I'm going to go for a 1-1 draw. Ollie Horgan to get booked for complaining about something to do with something, maybe the wind or something. I don't know. What a bloke, Ollie. If you're listening, hop on if you want. You're always welcome on the pod. Keith Long, you can go and do one because Bill will probably cry.
So. I'd love Keith Long, to be honest with you.
So would I, but Bill would cry.
Great manager, great club, great town.
Debatable. But
I just say, when I criticise Long, obviously he's one of the best managers in the country because he's at that level. I just don't think he, along with the squad, had the correct makeup and quality to stay up in the division this year.
Bill, is he as what you'd like to call him, is a
I think he's a total spoofer.
No, that's what you said.
That's literally an exact
in relation to the other managers in the squads in the league, yes. predictions are never personal, and I know I have fun at times and joke, but like it's never actually personal. Like I don't.
Apart from when it's Waterford.
He doesn't support a team in the league. He doesn't really care about the league. He's just kind of here just for.
Well,
to be fair,
in Keith Long's defence, and Bill says that they don't have enough to stay up. Luckily for them, they've got Dundalk in the league this year, so I don't know. They've got every chance to stay up.
Team. It's like, in my opinion, it's like you have a playoff guaranteed, anyways.
Yeah,
it's only 1-9 this year. There's no 10.
It's 9-4.
Yeah, and Kerry are coming up in the playoff. Could you imagine the fiend, lad?
Imagine
Kerry beat Waterford.
Which they won't be able to.
95th, yeah. They probably wouldn't, to be honest. But a 95th, playoff final. No, Kerry and
Waterford. We'd have to go. If Kerry get to the playoffs, we're going. That's it.
100%.
I'm not going. The North are already automatically relegated. I will not be doing a podcast ever again. I genuinely, like I've said it before, I'm not talking about first division football. Fuck that one.
No, we won't. You can just talk to us as a neutral about the Premier Division.
No, I'm not doing that either.
No, you will be.
Thanks for listening to the podcast. As always, give us a follow on our social media page at the Palcast, at Blog Irish, and at Rep Tracker. Waterford are going to stay up. Come on to town. Good luck.